Good afternoon. Brother Tom Knickenbocker of Help Ministries brought Jose Gomez, a pastor in Tampico, Mexico, and his son, Manuel Gomez, a pastor in Michoacán, Mexico, on a two-week tour through upstate New York. This is their teaching us a Spanish song and Manuel Gomez preaching at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. A portion of our Sunday morning message is included at the end of Manuel Gomez's message.
Okay, now guys, we know we have bigger booming voices. It's kind of a disadvantage, isn't it? Because we're going to sound better. We hope.
Yeah.
The ladies did a good job saying the words. We're going to be watching you guys next, okay? You can do as well as they did. It'll be amazing, okay? Okay, guys, let's try it, all right? Ready?
Nada es imposible para él.
Keep playing, brother.
Nada es imposible para él. Nada, nada.
Nada.
Good job.
Nada.
Absolutamente.
Absolutamente.
Nada es imposible para él.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. What do you think, brother? You're the professional around here.
I think the ladies
won. They did, yes, they did too. They did a good job. Let's all stand together and sing it together. Two more times, okay?
Nada es imposible para mí.
The best people, I mean, these people have said it the best. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Per capita. Amen. Thank you very much for making me see this. I mean, everybody was here that last time.
Yes.
That was so awesome. All right. Very, very good.
Amen.
Before I continue, I just want to say that I feel right at home. Amen.
Amen.
It's something else when we're among God's people, amen. Something else, and I've enjoyed being here already. And before I continue, I'll share a little bit about my testimony and preach some. Anybody here knows Brother Shane Rice? Okay, I know him, and I met him down in Mexico, and he's a man of God, amen.
Yeah.
A man of God. And y'all done a good job, Sister Rice. You and Preacher too, amen. Y'all should be real proud of your son, amen. And glad to be here. My name is Manuel Gomez. I'm married with Veronica Gomez. We have two daughters, Morelia and Denise, and we're missionaries in the state of Michoacán, Mexico. Michoacán, Mexico is about 14 hours south from the Laredo, Texas border. So, our story begins many years ago, over 35 years ago, when my dad, he was here, saw his video, came to the United States, to Texas, looking for a better life, looking for a new opportunity, looking for the American dream, trying to get away from his past. And he found something better than that. He found the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ changed his life forever. It was forever changed, and there was a real change. Then, after being in Texas for some years, the Lord called him to go back to his people, to the Mexican people, to reach his people. So down we went, the whole family, including myself and my brother, and went down there. My dad went with no support at all. Not even his own local church supported him. And tough times, sleeping on the floor, poverty level, just tough times. But a man had a vision and he believed God, amen. We were just there, you know. And I remember growing up, we'd be able to come to the States during the summer with our relatives we have here. And they'd take us to swimming pools during summer, and we'd go to McDonald's, and we thought it was heaven on earth, amen. We didn't want to go back to Mexico, amen. Mexico was no fun. And I remember growing up, I always said three things. Number one, I'll never live in Mexico whenever I grow up. I'll never be a missionary in Mexico or anywhere. And as soon as I can, I'm going to get away from church. It's far. I don't want nothing to do with church. I was just rebellious. There was a period in my life where it showed. And not good decisions. A lot of stubbornness. A lot of sin. Not sin, you know, as far as drugs and heavy alcohol, but sins of pride and sins of a stubbornness and trying to do things my way. And it was not until March 1994, sitting in a meeting back there, an old preacher got behind the pulpit and he preached on the judgment of God. He preached on hell. But he also preached about the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And for the first time, I understood I was lost. I understood I was wicked. I understood that I needed a Savior. I understood that I was on my way to hell. And I came forward that night and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And for the first time in my life, it became real to me. Living for God became real to me. The Word of God became real to me. Prayer became real to me. Serving God became real to me. Being in the house of God became real for me. Is it real for you? Became real for me. Following year, the Lord called me to preach. Something I said I would never do. But His plans were different. And after going to Bible college there at the border for 3 years and working under my dad's ministry, planting several churches for 7 years, the Lord took us to the southern part of Mexico, 14 hours away from the border where my dad was stationed at the time. And what we saw down there broke our hearts. The interior of Mexico was different than what we were used to in the border. Poverty level dropped. The ignorance level dropped. The spiritual level dropped. It's just bad. We'd go town after town, village after village, looking for a gospel church. Mind you, a Baptist church like this one, and there was no church that would preach the gospel. That broke my heart. Though we didn't see no churches, what we did see was people that were lost without Christ. People that would go on their knees for kilometers, trying to earn, trying to work, to sacrifice for the favor of God. When the Bible says, it's all been paid for at the cross in Calvary. And what we saw was people in cemeteries that would stay all night and pray to their loved ones, thinking that their spirits come back. Some traditions that are pre-Hispanic, and what we saw was witchcraft and darkness. And this broke my heart, and the need became a burden, and the burden became a calling. So it was that after being newly married, I took my wife 14 hours away from her parents. They still haven't forgiven me for that yet. Amen. We went down there, start from nothing. When I had the opportunity to ease off, to choose the easy way, to choose the easy pattern, we took the pattern, the road of Christ, which was hard. We slept on the floor also for the first months. It was hard. It was difficult. The field was different. The people were different. But the Lord allowed us to plant a church. Now 9 years have gone by. We have our own building. It fits maybe 400 people. There should be this evening somewhere from 120 to 100 people worshiping the Lord there. That church, that building. That's what the Lord's done in 9 years. The Lord's also helped us start three other churches beside that main church in Morelia, in smaller towns, in smaller communities where there was no gospel witness at all. We baptized the first Christian in the history of those villages. The Lord is doing a great work, great and mighty work. People are coming to Christ. People are being trained. People are getting a burden for the gospel. They're preaching. They're going out. And I'm excited that the Lord would let me be a part of it. It's nothing that I've done in 9 years. I can't get the credit for anything. It's all been Him. I've just done what He's asked me to do. Amen. And I'm enjoying the ride.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying serving Him. I'm enjoying my family. I'm enjoying the ministry. I enjoy preaching. I enjoy sitting down 6 in the morning, training those preachers before they go to work. I enjoy having coffee. I enjoy tamales. I enjoy enchiladas. I like it all, brother. And no complaints out of me. Serving God has been the best thing in my life. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it again. I was born in Texas. I have opportunity to live here in this country. And in a time where people will literally give up their lives to try to be in this country, we're settled more than ever to be where God wants us to be. And that's Morelia. So you pray for us, pray for me, pray for my family, pray for the works down there. We've been here for 2 months, and the works down there, they keep going. They keep going. Those men have been taught right. They know the Word of God. They use the right Bible, the RBG. They have the right doctrine. They're going for the Lord. And we're glad. We're glad to serve the Lord. Amen. So pray for our safety. Pray for our safety. Mexico is in the middle of a ruthless drug war, cartel war. Michoacán is a drug-producing state. Whoever controls that territory controls the money. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. You want to look at evil around the world and even in this country, look for the money. You'll find it. Politicians will sell their souls for the money. Whoever controls that area controls the money. So people are willing to fight, kill, destroy, kill innocent civilians, kidnap, murder. And we're right in the middle of where everything is going on. Please pray for our safety. We've been stopped by the cartel at least 7 times. Several of those times at gunpoint. One time as we were coming into town, we've been preaching in one of these communities. We're coming into town and it's happening right in front of us. A truck that is being driven by a cartel individual all of a sudden stops in the middle of the road. It stops, and as it stops, everything stops behind them. Everybody knows. Everybody recognizes the cartel individual. He comes out. He's ready to go. He's loaded. And he's got a mask on. He's got an automatic weapon. He's got his radio, his bulletproof vest. Something's going to happen. And I'm here watching in front of me. As he pursues the first car, he tells the man to get out of his car. He doesn't want to. So he takes his automatic weapon and just starts hitting him and beating him until he drags him out and blocks part of the road we're in. He comes to the second vehicle, does the same thing. He comes back and I'm next in line. I'm the third vehicle in line. He's looking at me as he's walking my way. I'm looking at him. I'm praying. I'm asking God to show me what I need to do. My wife is with me. My two girls, she's crying. My girls are hiding themselves. And all of a sudden, he stops right in front of me. He looks at me for about 3 seconds. It seems an eternity. And he keeps walking. And he does the same thing to the vehicle behind me. Mistreats them, takes the vehicle out. They burn the vehicles. We're left there on the side of the road till 3 past midnight while we can hear gunshots and gunfire and helicopters. In the middle of a war. I've asked myself several times, why was my family left unharmed? I believe somebody was praying for us. Because I believe with all my heart that God answers prayers.
Amen.
Would you come, please, after the service? Would you go back there? We have some prayer cards. My dad has some prayer cards. I have some prayer cards. Just take one. Just pray for us. We need your prayers. Many people are pulling out of Mexico, at least five families that we know, not because they're bad or because they're discouraged. It's just become impossible. They've had to change fields or look for other parts in Mexico that are not as dangerous. We're staying. We're staying right in the middle of that chaos. We're staying right where God wants us to be. So you pray for us. We need your prayers. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 7. We'll read verse 2 to verse 10. If you're able to, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. The Bible says, "And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the..." Verse 2, excuse me. "And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servants. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation. And he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at them, and turned them about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the gathering of your people. Lord, we've enjoyed already being in your house. Lord, make me a blessing to your people. They have come expecting to hear from you, Lord. And Lord, use me as your vessel. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us in verse 9, "And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled." He marveled at them. Jesus Christ marveled. He's impressed. Now, it doesn't take much to impress me and you. We're easily impressed. Somebody throws a good fastball, we're impressed. Somebody can throw a football, we're impressed. Somebody fishes a big fish, we're impressed. We're impressed by big houses. We're impressed by boats. We're impressed by motorcycles. We're impressed by art. We're impressed by university degrees. We're very easily impressed. Amen. And but the Bible says here that Jesus Christ marveled. Jesus Christ is impressed. Now I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Me and you are easily impressed. But if you're going to impress Jesus Christ, you better be doing something right. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He's here from the beginning. He's seen it all. I mean, He created the oceans. He created the rainbows. He created all the animals, all the species. He created the mountains, the valley. He created the Grand Canyon. He created all that's beautiful. He created the planets. He created the stars. He sits on a throne. His reign is forever. And He's impressed. Boy, this centurion must have been doing something right to impress the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, all the things, all the material things that impress us they don't really impress him.
No.
He's not impressed by big boats. He's not impressed by big homes. He's not impressed by wealth or fame. He's not impressed by power. He's not impressed by our vehicles. What was it in this centurion? Successful? What was it in this centurion's man's life that made an impression that caused our Lord Jesus Christ to be marveled? I'll say a couple of things I believe were in the life of this centurion that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to marvel. First of all, I'd like to say that a faith that impresses God is a faith that seeks the well-being of others. All throughout Jesus' ministry, people are coming. The crowds are pressing upon Christ. They need a miracle. They need for Jesus to do something for them. And listen, if you're here and you have a legitimate need, Jesus Christ knows your need. And if there's someone that can help you, it's definitely Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
But there were also other people that were not as spiritual, that were more selfish, that were motivated by selfishness, and they were looking something for themselves. They were looking to see what they could get out of Jesus, you know. And people, some wanted to eat, others would follow Jesus as he was. If he would be just a circus and just to see what he was going to do. Their heart really wasn't into it. But the Bible tells us that here's a man that when he has the attention of Jesus Christ, and when Jesus Christ is willing to do anything that is asked for him, the Bible says that he asks for someone else. He can get anything for himself. This is his moment. This is the Son of God. He can ask anything for himself, but he asks for someone else.
Yes.
He's interested. He's consumed. He's broken with the need of someone else. Jesus Christ is impressed. I believe Jesus Christ is impressed because this is the heart of our Savior. He is always broken. He's always concerned, not about his needs when he was on earth, but about the needs of others. He lived for the needs of others. He served for the needs of others. He went to the cross to die so that me and you can be saved. He ascended into heaven so that he could intercede for others. And Jesus Christ is impressed. Here's a man that is not worried about himself, but he's worried about others. When was the last time you were broken for someone else? When was the last time you asked prayer, not for yourself, but for someone else? When was the last time you were moved to tears because someone else had a need? It seems that in today's society, we're driven to make everything about ourselves. It's about me, it's about what I can get, it's about my attention, and boy, social media and Facebook has just increased this. Oh boy, now I'm preaching, huh? Everybody's a superstar. Look at what I'm doing, look at what I bought, look what I have, look what I've done. And when people push like, people feel good about themselves. Okay, I'm going to change the subject. Oh boy. I thought it was just a problem with someone else. It's everywhere. A faith that seeks the well-being of others. Everything that this world offers is geared to making us think about ourselves. You should buy that. You deserve it. I do deserve it. You should do that for yourself. Here's a man that is not thinking about himself. He's thinking about someone else.
Yeah.
A faith that seeks the well-being of others. A faith that impresses God. It's also a faith that loves the unloved. The Bible says the centurion is asking for a servant. A servant, I'm not a Bible corrector, but a servant is a good word. And all it means is a slave. Servants were not treated right during the times of the Bible. Servants were mistreated. Servants couldn't own property. Servants couldn't vote. Female servants, if they had children, they became property of the owner. Servants ridiculed. Servants knew their place in society. Servants were not important. And here's a man that's powerful, that's climbed the political ladder. He's done good for himself. He's got money. He's got stature. And he's broken for his servant, for a slave. Now, rich people like to hang around rich people. Powerful people like to hang around powerful people. People of prestige like to hang around people of prestige. They don't care about the rest of us. But here's a man that is broken for someone that to society is not worth very much. Again, Jesus Christ is impressed. You know why he's impressed? Because he loves the unloved.
That's right.
He loves the cast down. He loves that old sinner. We may look at someone desperately and they made mistakes in life and they're down and out, and Christ has compassion for them. He came to give His life for those that were lost. Just think about it. What was it in me and you? What did we have to offer Christ? What was in us that was good and worthy when the Bible says in Isaiah that our best works were as filthy rags? Yet He loved us and He gave His life for us and He showed His love and He died on the cross and He made us His own. Jesus loves the unloved. Jesus loves the unloved. And Jesus Christ is impressed at the love of the centurion. A faith that impresses God is also, according to verse 5, the Bible says, "For He loveth our nation, and He hath built us a synagogue." A faith that impresses God is a faith that loves other nations. Other nations. The Jewish nation and the Roman Empire, they didn't get along very well. There was a lot of strife. If you worked for the Roman Empire, you were considered a traitor. Nobody liked publicans because they were on the wrong side. There's just a lot of racial strife and political strife between these two nations. But somehow this centurion Roman didn't get the memo. He loved the Jewish nation. He wasn't supposed to love the Jewish nation, but he didn't care about what he was supposed to love or not. He loved the Jewish nation. Not only that he loved the Jewish nation because he said it out of words, the Bible says he built them a synagogue. He put his money where his heart was. You want to know where somebody's heart is? Just follow the money. Amen? It's going to get quiet again. People that love, it's not about money. God is not interested in money. God doesn't need about your money. Don't worry. I'm not going to preach about money. You'll be all right. You know what God is interested in? Your heart. And whenever you give to heart, your heart to Jesus Christ, everything goes. But you want to know where somebody's heart is? Just follow the money. Follow the money. Well, we can't give to missions. We can't do this. But we can do this. I can't afford to do this. I have no money. But on the side, we can afford to buy this. That's where our heart is. This man put his money where his heart was. He loved this nation so much, he built them a synagogue from the ground up so they would have a place where they would worship. He loved other nations beside his own nation. And the Lord Jesus Christ is impressed. Lord Jesus Christ, thank God for this nation, the greatest nation on earth. It still stands for freedom, for liberty, for justice, with all its problems that it has. It's still by far the greatest nation on earth. Amen? Amen. There's still liberty to preach the gospel, to scream and holler. Amen. I mean, this nation is still a nation favored by God. But may God also give us a heart for other nations. Nations that are under tyranny. Nations that are under dictatorship. Nations that are run by cartels. Nations that are dying of AIDS. nations that are perishing without Christ. This centurion, without a doubt, his nation had been good to him. His nation had done him well. But boy, he had a place in his heart for other nations. And Jesus Christ is impressed. You know why Jesus Christ is impressed? Because He loves the nations of the world. He loves the nations of the world. I got to say this about this church. I'm impressed with Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I see all these prayer letters right here. I'm impressed.
Yes.
I'm impressed. We're usually impressed with the bigger churches that have air conditioner. I don't need air conditioner. I feel right at home right here. This is how it is back home. You can still crank the heat a little bit more. I'll be all right. What happens is some Americans are spoiled. That's it. Oh, I'm preaching too much. I'll get an amber, Tom. I'll get an amber. And people are astounded. They're amazed. They marvel at churches that got these water fountains in the front of the yards with changing colors. They're impressed with big parking lots and a gymnasium. And then you look at their missions budget.
Nada.
Nada. Nada.
Zero.
Absolutamente nada. You know where their heart is? On themselves. But here's a church that has a heart for other nations.
Amen.
I know you can take that money and use it to fix the air conditioner. I know you can take that money to do whatever you want to. But that's not your heart.
Yeah.
It's not about you. I can see it in the heart of your pastor. He's not worried about him. You're in a good church this evening.
Yeah.
An unselfish church that is not about us. I know it's a little rough and it gets a little hot, but there's people that are perishing and going to hell in other places, and this heart loves, this church loves the other nations. How do I know? Because that's where you send your money. That's where you send your prayers. God is impressed. God is impressed.
Amen.
That's what I want to do in my life. I want to do something that impresses God. And I don't care what the community says. I don't care what anybody says. I care what Jesus Christ says. And if Jesus loves the nations, I want to love the nations. I want to take the gospel to the nations so that they may be saved. Jesus Christ is impressed. He loves the nations. Like that children's song says, Jesus loves the children of the world. Whether yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I even saw a gringo missionary there. A gringo missionary to Mexico, to my country. Thank you for loving my nation. Thank you for loving my people. Thank you for sending a missionary and giving and praying and sacrificing so my people somewhere in Jalisco, where I don't go, can know the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm impressed, but He's impressed with your heart this evening. He's impressed.
Yeah.
Because He has a place in His heart for other nations.
Yes.
Because this centurion understands that it's not all just about him. It's about others.
That's right.
It's about other nations. Lastly, a faith that impresses God is a faith that is placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. That time of day, no doubt there was different belief systems. But he went to Jesus. You'll be amazed at what the things that people believe on nowadays. People believe that a tree can save them. People believe in yoga. People believe in Eastern religions. And it's still Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only one that can save you. At the end of the day, when the rubber met the road, when this man had a crisis in his heart, he went to Jesus. And Christ is impressed with all the options that he had, with the good standing in the different community that he had. He had open options, but he goes to Jesus because he understands that Jesus can do something for him. As Jesus is approaching his home, the centurion says, I'm not worthy for you to enter into my house. Yes, I have a big palace here and it's been good, and certainly I have something, a wealth, but I'm not worthy. I'm just a sinner. Tell Jesus just to give the word, and I know my servant shall be healed. And Jesus Christ is impressed because he believed in the power of his word.
Amen.
This is what the word of God says this evening. The word of God says that without Jesus Christ, you're lost. The word of God says that you're on your way to hell. You haven't received Jesus Christ. But the word of God also tells us that Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave his life at the cross in Calvary so that you might be saved. Have you believed His Word? Have you believed His Word? His Word says that if you're going through trials and tribulations, He will sustain you. His grace will be enough for you. God will always be there with you. He'll never forsake you. Do you take Him at His Word?
Amen.
This centurion understood the power of the Word of God. And he's impressed. What are the things that impress you the most? May we be impressed with the things that impress God. That's why it's good to have services like this, because it takes the attention off of ourselves. And we put the attention in other people. Jesus Christ marveled at the faith of the centurion. Would he be impressed at your faith? Let's pray. Let's bow our head. Pastor, would you come? You do as the Lord tells you to do.
Let's stand, and if we could have some music play for invitation. Appreciate again everything we've heard here tonight. What a joy again to hear from Mexico, and trust again that God's burdened your heart a little bit. And as music plays, let's just go ahead and do something with what God has given to us tonight.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I had no fear when Jesus was beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible this morning to the book of Luke. John 11:35. Again, we're going to spend, I said we'd spend the whole month of August or July here in John 11. And here we are. This is our fourth, again, message out of this. And I've just touched the surface. And I haven't even, I mean, Lazarus is still in the tomb after three messages. And the bad news is he's not coming out yet today again. So I could get four more messages out of this again easily. But let's go ahead and look at what God has for us here in John chapter 11. I left all my notes on my computer, so let's go ahead and wing it here today. I always usually get in trouble when I do that, but we'll give it another go. So let's go ahead and look. We've covered again the John 11 is about. It's not about Lazarus. It's not about resurrection. It's not about events again and death that would overtake us. It is indeed about the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Enjoyed running last week's Penny Pulpit. After I preached, I try to fit a message into 300 words. I don't do well at that either. But boy, that fact that I am just struck a chord with me, that Jesus said, when he said I am, those Pharisees knew what he was talking about, and it angered them. And so we worship this resurrection of life. He is our God. And as we look here, we want to get maybe a more practical application to some of this than what we've looked at hence far. So let's go ahead and take up our reading in verse 32. John chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 32. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. This is Mary, and if you watch verse 21 and verse 32 here, you'll notice that Mary and Martha use the exact same words, but they don't say the same thing. They use the exact same phrases, but they do not say the same thing. Very curious, and that's one of the messages I don't have time to preach in this series, but I like to point it out. And so let's go ahead and begin our reading in John chapter 11 and verse 32. You follow along in your Bible as I would read God's Word. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, watch this, she fell down at his feet. Now that's different than Martha here in the previous encounter. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore